Welcome back to Package Management and Workflow Automation. I'm Adam Chuliper.
Jeremy Foster.
Last session, Jeremy, very good work.
Thank you.
There are a couple of good things in there. We're going to be moving forward in this session to package management and .NET applications. This is going to be focused around one of my favorite technologies, NuGet. Module overview, we're going to run into a NuGet primer first. Then we're going to look at how you can distribute your apps without package binaries, which is very, very important because who wants to distribute a 175 meg app when it needs to be far, far less? How to create your own NuGet packages, how to host your own private NuGet packages, where to keep those, how to do that, and super brief looking ahead, because looking ahead always changes, but we know a couple things as of now, so we'll talk about those real briefly. Let's start off with a NuGet primer. There's still a lot of folks that I talk to that don't know what NuGet is, what NuGet does, what it can do for you, and it's amazing. To say that is a small term. This is not a chicken nugget. This is not some flecks of gold. NuGet is a package manager for the Microsoft development platform. So what Jeremy was showing in the last session on Chocolaty, for example, was installing apps into Windows, well, as one of the demos. But for what we're doing here, this is for the Microsoft development platform. So things that you're going to want to develop in Visual Studio, install into your Visual Studio solutions in there. You can do this from the command line. You can do this from Visual Studio 2010 to 2015, and as well as Web Matrix 3. This is installed by default in Visual Studio 2012 Plus. I think the only version that's the exception there is Team Foundation Server. Everything else, it is in by default now. And it's also, interestingly enough, cross-platform. Did you know that, Jeremy?
Yes, I did.
Of course you did. You're doing all the work on the Linux side. All right, what exactly is a NuGet package? Well, before we even dive into what a package is, let's go over to a web browser here and look at NuGet.org. There's a couple websites. You can go to nuget.codeplex.com, and over there you can see the release, check out source code, version downloads. But the main site for NuGet to me is NuGet, which is where I can install it. Again, it's installed by default with Visual Studio. If you want to search for any kind of packages up here, so for example, if I want Entity Framework, you'll notice that the results that come back here, many, many, many results. Go into Entity Framework, and you'll see what somebody has put together as an Entity Framework release. You can see a version on here. At the bottom, you can actually see the version history. So going way back, and you'll see that various beta versions get released along the lines, and we'll talk about how you can install beta versus non-beta versions. Lots of downloads of this particular version on here.
10 million.
10 million downloads Entity Framework. So some impressively, some packages that are used quite a bit on here. Whenever I want to go and install something in the Visual Studio, my number one, the workflow that I use is I go and I look for a NuGet package to see if it exists out there. And I can say with certainty that I've not run into a package in probably the last year that I can probably think of that I've, or something that I've gone to install in the Visual Studio that hasn't been available as a NuGet package. So virtually everything I want to use is there. Now, so a NuGet package itself, it's a zip file. Contains files, libraries, scripts to be installed, which actually uses PowerShell scripts. And this gives you the ability to version your packages. So you want to install libraries into your .NET application. Let's just take an ASP.NET website. If I want to install some script files in there, maybe some binaries as well, or like the Entity Framework has scripts associated with it, has binaries associated with that. Virtually any file that you can add into a NuGet package and scripts on how to install it into your solution. Oops, getting a little ahead of myself here. So let's look at actually what this package format looks like before we dive into usage of it. And I'm going to open a tool here we're going to use a little bit later again. This is called the NuGet Package Explorer, which just to give the URL right now is npe.codeplex.com. Notice this is a great tool. This is currently a side project. It is not an official product from Microsoft, but it is a really cool product. So I'm going to use it just for a little bit in here because one of the things that we can do is this can help us explore what a NuGet package looks like. Now, we don't have to use this tool, but I'll show you one of the neat things about it. I'm going to open up one of my locations. Location, location, location. And I'm going to grab one of my packages here. And let's just go to my favorite place to put all my temporary things. And we'll call, we'll call that the desktop. And I'm going to take one of these NuGet packages here. This gets downloaded whenever you go and install a NuGet package on your system, and we're going to look at installing next. I just want to look at the anatomy of a NuGet package first. If I take this new package and I rename this to .zip, and I open that zip file.
Look at that.
Look at that.
Magically became a zip file.
We have a new spec file. We have a package folder in here, a content folder. Now, this is the one for Angular. So as we can see in here, we've got a folder called scripts and all of this JavaScript and map files in there, everything that's required for Angular. So that was all in this NuGet package here. We'll undo that rename. So new package, N-U-P-K-G. So that's what a NuGet package is. If we want to look at something that maybe does a little bit more, let's take the Entity Framework one, and I'll paste that in here. And in this one, I'm going to open up inside of the NuGet Package Explorer. So I'm going to copy that file, open a local package. And one trick that I use, I'm not sure if you know it or not, but any file that you copy in Windows, if you paste it into a text box, you'll actually get the full path to that file. So I can do things like this. I can copy that file, come over here, and paste its path right there. Open it. That's going to analyze the package and look at everything that's in there. So let's expand a little bit of this here. We notice that we have some transform files. If you're installing this into an application, for example, a console app, this is some modifications it will do to its app.config. If you're installing Entity Framework into a web application, this is some things that it will do to the web config. If you happen to be installing into a .NET 4.5 plus project, these are the libraries that will get installed. If you happen to be installing this in the .NET 4.0, these are the separate libraries that will get installed there. Some additional tools and PowerShell scripts on here that tell it how to install this, a helper DLL. So this is a little bit more advanced than, for example, the Angular one, which was simply just a some folders of JavaScript files. This one now actually has libraries that get installed and PowerShell scripts that basically tell all of this how to operate and what to do. So you can see these packages allow you to do really anything that you want to do inside of a Visual Studio solution. You can control it with PowerShell script. You can package all of your files into there. So let's go back to and talk about how those packages get installed. It's a NuGet file comes down to your system. How do you get it down to your system? And more importantly, how do you get it installed into your project? So they get installed upon request through a GUI in Visual Studio. That's one option. If you like using the GUI, you can use that. I'll show you that in a second. You can also use it from the command line. And that's usually if you're doing something from a command line build, that's when you do it from the command line. For example, if you want to make sure that your entire project you can restore from a command line, build from a command line to make sure that your developer knows all the dependencies of the application. A good idea is maybe restore all of your packages and then perform your build just to make sure you haven't thrown in any libraries from a third-party source or a developer hasn't pulled them in from maybe a location on the network or his own machine. This helps you ensure that you get everything in your project and you can script it out as well. And lastly, the Package Manager Console, which is a method that I use typically, and that's inside of Visual Studio. Now, where do these packages get installed to? Well, there's three locations here. One is a user-defined location, and we should actually paste some of these in, and I'll show you what these look like shortly. There's a per-user local cache directory, so those get pulled down, get cached in that location there. To be clear, the first one simply specifies custom locations. And actually, we're going to do a custom location later on in this module. The second one is whenever you just go to the command line or in your Visual Studio and you install a NuGet package, the second location is where they get cached in your local system. That's actually the folder that I just opened up in Visual Studio. And third, you get a machine-wide cache. Traditionally, you see this used for a software distributor that wants to make sure that packages are there for everybody to use by default. So a pretty standard use case for that is Visual Studio. Visual Studio installs, they want to make sure that there's a handful of packages that are there by default. So anytime you create a new project in Visual Studio, Those packages are there for install. It makes creation of your project templates easier. As you'll see, a lot of the Visual Studio templates will actually point to all these other packages and install it when they create your application for you. For example, when you create an ASP.NET 5 or an ASP.NET project in general, and you bring it up, it has a template that it uses, and then it pulls down all these NuGet packages. So if you had to do every single one of these where they were over the internet, it would be, one, it would be slow, and two, if the internet happened to be down, your connection happened to be down, then that would take a long time, or it would just fail on you. So there's a local cache that needs to be there by default, and that's what that machine-wide cache is. Let's look at a couple of those locations, actually, really quick here. So here is this first one. This is the local app data NuGet cache. These are all the packages that I've pulled down to my system at some point in time. So I've installed something, and it's brought all these down. We can see Angular, Bootstrap, etc. So these are cached for the local user. So C users Adam. So each user that's going to be using my machine gets a different local cache. Secondly, this user-defined location, that's the one I said we'll be adding later on. That is simply a config file that tells you where your custom locations are. And we'll look at adding one of these custom locations in just a little bit. Lastly, our machine-wide cache, program data, NuGet config. And we can see under there, the only one that I have in my system that even uses that is Visual Studio. If we open that up, let's do Notepad and pull this guy in here. And we can see we get an actual feed here listed, a specialized feed that comes in from the net. So you can use a URL here as well. And let's just investigate what 12.0 uses here. Another feed URL. Run Notepad. That's another trick. If you don't know, you can take a file name and drag it right here, and you'll get that file name listed. And same thing, we just get a feed from the internet as well. Perfect. So those are all the locations, but what about actually installing them? So let's look in Visual Studio on how we can install these. I'm going to go to Visual Studio and create a new project. And I'm going to do a new, we'll call this empty ASP.NET. The same exact process here is going to be the same, whether you're using ASP.NET, whether you're using console app or WPF, XAML, doesn't matter. The same process is going to exist here for any Visual Studio solution you are going to use. So I'm going to select the empty template here to make sure I get no other files with this. And just like that, it creates really fast. The only thing that we have here is a web config. Next, tools, NuGet package manager console, or manage NuGet packages for solution. So when I mentioned first that there was a GUI that you can use, some folks like the GUI, because you can come in here and kind of explore some things. And here we go, you can see NLE framework. If I want to type in Angular, for example, you can search your locally installed packages, or here's the online, you can search for package updates. That's one way to install them. The end result is going to be the same no matter how you install them, and we'll look at that end result in 1 second. I'm going to install mine through, actually, the console. So tools, NuGet package manager, very important to remember. There are tools, NuGet package manager, console. And that opens up this, which happens to be a PowerShell console. And what we can do, a couple common commands here, install-package. So verb dash noun, typical PowerShell format, install dash package. Let's do entity framework. There we go, adding NLE framework 6.1. Let me scroll up a little bit. Adding NLE framework 6.1.3. Successfully added. Now we can actually type git help NLE framework to see all available NLE framework commands. Let's see what this package lists. Now, meanwhile, what's happened on the back end? You notice this packages config was created. Here we go. The font size makes this all kind of wrap a little bit weird. But we can see all different commands available here for NLE framework. Enable migrations, add migrations, update database. So these are things you can do in this console related to NLE framework. If I make changes in my project that I'm using NLE framework and I make changes to my models, for example, I can have it automatically generate me my SQL script. We actually went over this in our NLE framework jumpstart that Christopher Harrison and myself did. So the important thing that happened here, once I installed that package, it created this packages.config. And if you look in this packages config, it's an XML file, and it tells you the name of the package that you installed. This is what you typed, NLE framework, what version it installed, and what the target framework is for this. Because we list a particular version, this can know if there's particular updates available. And notice, I'm going to type into and hit tab, and there's completion based upon what I have installed here. Update package NLE framework. And obviously, there's no updates available for NLE framework. If I have a year-old project, for example, and I run this, I'm going to see what updates are available, and it will automatically update this package. Now, let's go ahead and install another package here. Oops, install-package jQuery. Very common ones used in the web. Let's make this a little bit more complicated. Let's not install jQuery, and let's install instead Bootstrap. Notice what happened is, let me reload this file, but scroll up here. Install package Bootstrap automatically attempting to resolve dependency jQuery. That's because the Bootstrap package has a dependency upon jQuery. So it actually installs the jQuery package first, and then installs the Bootstrap package on top of that. So it understands these dependencies when somebody creates a project. And if I look in my folder over here, in Solution Explorer, I've got scripts installed. I can see I've got Bootstrap in there, I've got jQuery in there, and all the other files that are required for Bootstrap. So this these chain dependencies are very, very important. You don't have to worry about, do I need this, do I need that? Let's see, update package jQuery. Notice, when they created this particular package for Bootstrap 3.3.4, they tied it to a particular version of jQuery. Now, I'm going out kind of on a limb here and hoping that this particular version of Bootstrap works with this version of jQuery, but I just want to show you the update here. When I tried to update jQuery, there was a more recent version available, so it installed it, and now it went to version 2.1.3. If I want to uninstall this, let's do uninstall package Bootstrap. Reload that. Now notice, I've basically upgraded jQuery separately here. So it says, you know what? This is a separate dependency. We're gonna kind of keep this around here. Let me specifically uninstall package jQuery. Reload that. And now notice, I'm back to almost square one. I still have NLE framework installed in here. My NLE framework library is still there. Let's go ahead and uninstall package entity framework. There we go. My project, my packages config was removed. I'm essentially back at square one. Another thing you can do here, install package entity. Let's hit tab. Let's see what packages are available here. So we get tab completion, entity framework, and I start typing that out. So I can see what packages are available. I know I just want NLE framework, so I can do tab completion. So we get this nice IntelliSense that works with this. Install package NLE framework. If there happens to be a new beta release available, you would get the pre-version that gets installed. So here, if we noticed over on NuGet.org, when I look for NLE framework, we don't have any current pre-releases available. So we notice that 6.1.3 is the most current version. If there was a pre-release version, a beta version, so beta versions are not installed by default here. The pre-release versions, you need to explicitly specify -pre. So if you hear about a new version of Enemy Framework or some other package, and there's this beta version available, you can use the dash pre command to install it, and then you will be good to go. Okay, now, as you add these packages to your application, it gets larger and larger and larger. Let's look at what Visual Studio does. If I create a file, new project, and I'll do ASP.NET web application. I'll call this NuGet web app, even though this is just a standard web app. And I'm going to select, let's just do web forms here. Actually, I'm an MVC guy, so I'm going to do MVC. I chose, well, I allowed the default there for authentication to use individual accounts, which that feature uses Enemy Framework to read the database and store things in the database. So if I look here in my packages config, notice that all this entire web app has a whole lot of dependencies in there. I mean, these are, wow, lots of library dependencies. And some of these are third-party open source libraries. So it's really cool to see this included in kind of the Microsoft projects, but you've got Antler, Bootstrap, Enemy Framework, jQuery, all these different libraries in here. So the default template says, here's the default packages that we need installed. And when you create this new project, it goes down the list, installs all these packages, and you're good to go. So you can upgrade these at any time. This is just what happens to be default. It's always the packages.config that lists all of these. So Visual Studio itself and these templates make great use out of NuGet. These are all designed around NuGet as well. The process, the template changes ever so slightly. And by slightly, I mean it looks quite a bit different. Behind the scenes still uses NuGet. If we look at Visual Studio 2015, and I do a new project, and I'll do ASP.NET web application. And I'll do a preview starter website. So this is going to go ahead. This is the preview version of Visual Studio 2015. But I want to show you how some things look slightly different. If you happen to be running the preview, or watching this after Visual Studio 2015 has been released, I imagine the process is going to be pretty similar here. So this is going to install, this is going to initialize. We'll give this 1 second here. If we look into this project.json file, in 2015 here, we don't have the packages.config in the ASP.NET 5 projects. Visual Studio 2015 still supports the standard ASP.NET web apps on there. So you can do an ASP.NET 5, or you can create like a WebForms .NET 4.6 application. So you can still do things the same old way. It just so happens that the ASP.NET 5 templates make use of this new project.json file. And notice how this is all listed in this nice JSON file. You get your dependencies. And if you come in here and you add, let's just throw something in here and say Bootstrap. You get this nice IntelliSense, still happens. And you can tell this is the NuGet icon. So these are all coming out from NuGet. And we'll do Bootstrap 3. Let's go down the latest, 3.3.4. Save this file. Notice down here, package restore in progress. Behind the scenes, this is all still using NuGet. So still very much used. And you can see over here, the references show that these are restoring. Give this a second to install this package. And then once that finishes there, you'll notice that all the Bootstrap libraries will be installed. And package restore has been completed. So all the Bootstrap files get loaded into your app here. And there we go. Lib, Bootstrap. So same process behind the scenes. Up front, it looks a little bit different. But now you get this nice file also with IntelliSense as well. So distributing apps without package binaries. If we go and we look at that Visual Studio solution that we created, we might see a couple reasons why do you not want to store binaries with this. Do you want to send a 75 megabyte website to somebody via email? Jeremy, I'm guessing that you probably don't want to do.
Depends on who it is.
Depends on who it is. If I go and I look at this web application, actually the NuGet web app that we created here, Let me go to one of my favorite, as a kind of a side note here, one of my favorite add-ins here from a Matt Christensen that works at Microsoft who creates Web Essentials has this plugin to open a command line from a right-click in Visual Studio. So if I open my command line here, we can see all the files here. So this is a simple basic web app here. I've got, it's 11 megs, which isn't terrible, but the fact is I've created something here. Let me go back to Explorer, which I can just do Explorer dot. And I'll do backspace to pop back a little bit here. Let me actually go up above where the location I was in, because right here, if I look at the folder I'm in, this is pretty much everything that I'm seeing inside of Visual Studio. In other words, let me go Explorer dot again. If I look at this pack, this where I'm at in the command line here, this is essentially mostly what I see in Visual Studio. Of course, I don't see like my OBJ folder or bin folder. Let me back up a little bit though. And when you pull these packages into your solution, they get stored in this packages folder. And if I look at the properties of that packages folder, this is a 40 meg folder. So my entire website here is 10 megs. That's my all my libraries and everything associated with there. This packages folder, though, can get large pretty fast. This is everything associated with all those NuGet packages. So 40 additional megs. So if I go back one more level and I go to the properties, for that basic website, which could be 10 megs or even less, I now have a 50.7 meg folder there that I would have to zip up. That's a lot. So that's one reason right there why you do not want to store binaries with your application. It gets large really fast. Source control on binaries, if you start putting binaries into source control, it can mark them read-only, and you get problems sometimes when you compile and it tries to overwrite things or you update those references.
You know, with modern package managers, it's just not necessary. Like, if I have a binary, by definition, I didn't get that myself, but I downloaded that from a repository. So it exists somewhere. So when I share my project with you by way of source control, you can go to that place and get it as well. We don't need to exchange that directly.
Exactly.
It's analogous to, you know, the old method for sending you a large video file is to try to attach it to my email and send it to you directly. But if I just go put it in a public place, not public, but maybe a shared place online, and then all I do is I send you a reference to it, then you go get it from that shared place. That's a better model.
Yeah, definitely. Much better. If you want to test your process for deploying an app, like I mentioned earlier, if you want to do this command line process, or if you just want to send your project to another developer here and say, hey, here's a source code. Can you run this application? Will this restore all the binaries? So we know that we didn't pull in. I mean, I've seen over the years many applications that a developer had a rogue DLL in their folder. And when they gave that project to somebody else or gave the source code to somebody else, it wouldn't compile, it wouldn't run. They'd be like, hey, where's this binary? Where'd you get it from? And they wouldn't know. So to be able to have all of your package sources listed there and to be able to reproduce this build process and give your source code to somebody else and have them run it and understand what all your dependencies are is very, very important. Now, if you're using TFS or Git, they require different methods on not storing binaries. And binary changes can store certain repositories to grow large fast. I would say one of the strengths of one of the weaknesses, we'll say, on something like Git is a great system. I love Git. But storing revisions on binary files can make your repositories grow large fast. So again, many reasons you don't want to store binaries. So the old way of doing this here was you could include your solution folder with, and this the old way of restoring these binaries, was you can store, in your solution folder, you would have a NuGet exe. So let me look at this guy. We'll do a file, open project, and I'll show you, I think I have this in my recent list. I do. So here's an application from, I think Microsoft's own John Galloway wrote this, and here's the source code, and along with this application here, notice that we have a NuGet.config. It has a particular version of NuGet.exe. And a NuGet targets. And so basically the idea is that it will run this NuGet exe and kind of understand what to do with the packages.config. This was the old way of doing things. So there's a much better, newer way of doing things. And that is, it just happens by default. Kind of by default. Your package restore will happen by default. But the idea is that we want to keep our binaries out of source control. So there's two things that happen here. One is we want to keep these packages out of source control, but we also want to make sure that the developer gets this package restore by default. And in Visual Studio, if we look over here and we go to Tools, where everything is for NuGet here, NuGet Package Manager, Package Manager Settings. And if you forget where all that's at, a lot of developers don't use this quick launch, although this is one of the coolest things about Visual Studio. And once you start using it, you'll never forget it. Type in something, it kind of tells you where in Visual Studio this is. So if I type in NuGet, right here, NuGet Package Manager, there's all the information there. Click it up, and it loads those same settings as if I would have gone through the Tools menu.
Even if it's embedded really deeply into the Tools Options menu. And there's so many options in there that...
You're like, where is this found at? So I just find, you know, you want to change your font setting, you could load this up and find where your fonts are. It's just easier to type it up there. So here's the defaults. Allow NuGet to download missing packages and automatically check for missing packages during build in Visual Studio. So these options, which are selected by default, need to be on. And also, in the new way, you can really just delete... you don't need these guys right there. So if you're dealing with an old application that has this, and you're using a newer version of Visual Studio, or I should say that you're using a version of NuGet from 2.7 plus, then you don't need any of this right here. So first thing we want is NuGet Package Restore. Notice when Visual Studio loaded, check this out at the bottom here. NuGet said, hey, some NuGet packages are missing from this solution. Let's look at this actual solution here. And open folder in File Explorer. That's a 12 meg application there. Let's go ahead here and let's go to the Package Manager console. And let's go ahead and say restore. But I'm going to delete this NuGet.exe. And I'm going to delete the NuGet.targets. And we'll talk about the NuGet config in 1 second here. And I'm going to say, go ahead and restore that for me. And this will probably take a minute here. Let's look in our packages.config. So we've got all these packages that need to be restored here. And this folder's probably growing. Yeah, it's already 31 megs. So downloading missing packages, restoring it. So this is going to create quite a bit. If you remember, this, a minute ago, was a heck of a lot smaller than 45 megs. So I have a much smaller distributable to give to another developer. Now, the second problem, the second thing that we need to solve here is to take these old solutions and make a map to the new way, but also we need to make sure that our source control ignores those files. So going from old to new, I took this Geek Quiz application, which used the old way, had the NuGet.exe included when there. Don't need that anymore. You can remove the exe and remove the dot targets. But when you're dealing with source control, regardless of which newer version you're on here, there's two things to keep in mind. If you're using like TFS for source control integration, you want to make sure you have this NuGet.config file in here. And add this key, disable source control integration. And this is available on the NuGet site, on their documentation. They'll tell you about this. This ensures that source control will keep those packages out of source control, which is exactly what we want. We don't want to throw those packages into there. We only want to source control our packages.config, which it's a config file in here that will happen automatically. Secondly, if you happen to be using Git for source control, Git requires a git ignore, and that will exclude your packages folder. If you are unsure where to find one of those, and you want to just type in git ignore Visual Studio, you should find a link right on there. There we go. The first link is a sample template git ignore file that you can throw into your Visual Studio solution, and then just use git. And if I look for packages, right here, NuGet packages, the packages folder can be ignored because of package restore. Perfect. So this will ignore the packages folder. That's exactly what we want. So add this .gitignore in your project and you will be good to go. It's a really, really easy process. And then when the developer, you give the application to the developer, they load it up, they'll see that little button, would you like to restore the packages? And voila, they're good to go. Okay, so prepping projects for a package-less distribution. That is a fairly easy process. There's a couple ways of doing this. One, of course, is using source control and either giving them your Git repository that uses that gitignore or uses this nuget.config to leave those out of source control. Another way, if you just want to do a super, super fast way, you can debug, clean your solution. Or, I'm sorry, build, clean your solution. Go to your file explorer here and just zip up your entire project. Ignore your packages folder. Again, this packages folder is now 50 megs, right? A couple minutes ago, it was 30 some odd megs. This folder here is 3.53 megs. So zip up your source control folder or leave out your packages folder. Everything will be restored. NuGet's going to see that the packages have not been restored into that folder, and it will ask you when you load the project up. So super, super, super easy way to do this. It's very, very low friction. There's no reason you shouldn't be doing this. It keeps your projects much smaller. Now, how about creating your own NuGet packages? Well, let's talk about that package format again. The package format is basically a zip file. It's really called the Open Packaging Conventions file, and you can find details about that on Wikipedia. There's a bunch of different products that use that package format. Your packages require a NuSpec file, and that contains metadata about what's inside of your package. And again, you can include folders and files and scripts into there. To create your own package, you can do a couple different things. One, you can do it manually. So you can use the nuget.spec. So you need to download nuget.exe. So if you're using a build system to do this and you want to create your own packages at a command line, so to say, you need to create a nuget.spec. Then you need to package your project up, nuget.pack with your project. If you want to include any associated dependencies with there, -include reference projects will include any, you know, project A uses project B, which uses project C, which uses project D. That will wrap up all those dependencies into your NuGet package. If you don't want to do that at the command line, sometimes I just prefer to use the command line. Other times I like to prefer to use a GUI. In the case of creating a package, I prefer the GUI. And that was the nugetpackageexplorer.codeplex.com. So let's go ahead and check out that utility here. Again, this was the website, npe.codeplex.com, and NuGet Package Explorer, side project, non-official project from Microsoft. Still, this product works great. Launch it, file, new, and you come in here and you can create a whole bunch of different things. You can add new files, you can add content folders, analyze your package. In here, you can actually publish your package. So one thing, let's just do like a quick basic, we'll just take this folder right here and take some files from Geek Quiz. Let's do content, controllers, fonts, and scripts. Let's just say we want to distribute this as a project here. Drop it over here. There we go. We have all of our folders here. If we need to include different binaries in here, we can do that as well. Through our content add. Create a lib folder in there. Inside of a lib folder, we can add something for a particular version of .NET. So maybe we need something just for .NET 4.5, like NLE Framework was doing. Maybe we can add something just for .NET 4.0, which we also saw NLE Framework was doing. We can open up, we can add scripts. One of the other things, let's go back and open, actually before I open that, let me just show you one last thing here, publish. So if you want to publish your own, you can just simply add on here a publishing key, which you can get from NuGet's website, and then go ahead and there's your publish URL, publish key, package name, version, and publish it up, and it can be included there, or you can remove it. You can unlist the package as well. Let me look real quick at NLE Framework, because I talked about some of the things in there, but we didn't actually look at like any of these PowerShell scripts. I said you can include them, but let's actually look at one of these. So initialize NLE Framework configuration, add provider into your project, system data SQL client. So again, you can use scripts in here, and you can add those all into your own custom package as well. So pretty easy process to create your own. If you want to create your own templates, for example, let's say you have your own web templates that you install your own dependency injection software into. You have all of your own web templates and you want to install it all locally, but you want it available to the rest of your developers on there, then that could be a reason that you want to do something like creating your own private feed and package hosting, which brings us into the next section in here. How do you create your own private feed or do your own private package hosting? Well, why do that? Because that gives you complete control over the process, and a company might want that. They might want you to only install approved packages. It also might make it easier to find custom packages that you want. You have a sample website or a template website that you want all of your developers to use internally. And so there's a couple ways you can do that in Visual Studio, but to me the easiest way is just to create a NuGet package where you basically throw in all of your source files, all of your dependencies, and then you can have the developer install that through the Package Manager console or the GUI in there. So how do we go ahead and create one and host one? Well, we can do it simply enough in a file share. So you can create a file on your network, on your local machine. This is easy. This is super, super fast to get set up. It's an effective way for small teams that have consistent access to the network or their own local machine. Another way to do this is to host your own NuGet feed. And on NuGet's website, there is actually a package on there for NuGet server. You can search for this on here, NuGet server, which interestingly enough, you can use NuGet to install because this is a NuGet package right here. So NuGet server, you can open up a new project and install the NuGet server into that project. Be sure you read the release notes about some of the requirements on there. So you want your own private NuGet feed, you can do that as well. Install the NuGet server. We'll do a basic demo here today where we're just going to basically have simply a file share. So let's do that. In Visual Studio, Tools, NuGet Package Manager, our location for doing everything again, Package Manager Settings. And in our settings, we go to Package Sources, and notice I added a custom folder here. I literally just clicked on Add, and I browsed to a folder on my system that I brought in my own custom packages to. And wait for my File Explorer dialog to come up here for me. Meanwhile, let's do this. See users, Adam, desktop packages. Just to show you, in this folder, I simply have just the Angular JavaScript package. For some reason, my File Explorer didn't want to come up here. Disclaimer, I'm running preview early bits on Windows 10.
It helps in so many ways.
So let's go ahead and restart Visual Studio. Don't check for a solution. Let's just restart this so we can get rolling here. All right, and so what I can do, since I've added that custom location, again, Tools, NuGet Package Manager Settings, Package Sources. So here's my custom source. And in there, I just have that one file, Angular. And if I look over here, we can do a command like git package dash list available. Now, right now, this is going to actually probably return quite a lot because I'm going on NuGet's feed and I'm saying, hey, why don't you show me all of your available NuGet packages? You can specify parameters on here, like give me the first 10. I'm going to stop this because this is going to return a lot. Let's try doing something like entity framework. Let's see what that shows up as. And then I'll show you the custom location here in 1 second. Notice right now for the package source that this is going out to NuGet.org. As soon as this comes back to me here, I'll show you in a minute that we can change this location to be our own local ones. So notice any of these packages that get returned here, let's close the toolbox, make this window a little bit bigger. These are all of the font sizes cause a little bit of weird wrapping here. But what we can do here is every package that's been returned has something to do with Enly Framework. So we can really search for everything related to Enly Framework. It doesn't have to be just the Enly Framework package itself. That was the git package command. So let's stop that command. And then we'll filter down just to our own custom locations here. Notice this is still returning a lot of packages related to Enly Framework. All right, so here, Adam's package source. Now, let's do the same command here, git package list available. Bam, return super fast, and it says, hey, the only package you have available is the AngularJS package. So that makes it really easy from where to install. choose your custom feed source. Now, the other thing is, if you don't want the other ones available at all, if you don't want to get any of them there, you can just simply remove them. So for package sources, you don't want packages coming down from NuGet.org, you only want your own custom feeds, just deselect those or remove them from there, and it won't look there. Easy as that. And then you can install your own custom ones here. One thing to be aware of, because this happens to me all the time, just because sometimes, you know, the workflow gets, you're cruising along, you're in the zone, you're not paying attention, and let's say you have five different projects in your solution, quite often I will install NuGet packages into the wrong solution. So if I have multiple projects here, make sure you're on the correct project that you want to install that package into. Very, very important. If you install it into the wrong project, you can just simply uninstall it. Uninstall-package. That's this command that we saw earlier, entity framework, for example. So again, that happens to me quite often when I have a solution that has multiple projects in there. Make sure you are installing it to the right place. So there's my custom package source. It showed I only have that one package. And that's as simple as that. Real easy to host your own private NuGet location. Looking ahead, real quick, again, because things are kind of still in flux and changing, we'll just talk about one thing here that I think is a really cool feature. If we look in Visual Studio 2015, technology preview, and let's go ahead and new project, just to show you, because I did mention it before, you can still do an old, I don't want to say old, but you can still do what you're used to currently with WebForms or MVC. ASP.NET 5 is a little bit different on how it does things. You can still do any of the same templates that you had. So I'm just going to come into an empty application here. This is the exact same thing as doing an empty one in Visual Studio 2013. And once this finishes here, we'll load up the Tools Package Manager console. Or I'm sorry, the Manage NuGet Packages for Solution. I really like some of the features they've added to this, which I will show you right here. Tools, NuGet Package Manager. Let's do Manage NuGet Packages for Solution. Notice the window looks different. It's kind of not this pop-up that floats on top of everything anymore. Let's look at jQuery. They've also added onto here this package manager debug console, which is kind of cool. So if you're installing things behind the scenes, notice what's going on right now. See what's happening? So this is loading all my packages, but see, you can see exactly the commands that's happening. Find packages by ID. So this is really neat. If you want to see what exactly is going on behind the scenes, like why is this loading, what's taking so long, or you're debugging your own stuff, you can see exactly what's happening on here. And jQuery came up here. And notice, I have the ability, latest stable 2.1.3, I can select a specific version here. And one thing I didn't actually talk about was on the command line in our package manager console, you can obviously select whichever version you want to install there. But here, you have a GUI to do it, which makes it a little bit easier. There's your action to install it, install, and away you go. So these are some of the new things that are coming out in NuGet 3, some really cool things coming down the pipe, so to say. So we talked about quick NuGet primer, distributing your apps without package binaries, help trim those packages down a little bit, creating your own NuGet packages, real easy, the NuGet package explorer, or you can do it from the command line. Private package hosting, simply you can create a folder or you can install a NuGet server from NuGet.org. So you have a couple options for you. And looking ahead, we got some really cool things coming down that you could check out now in Visual Studio 2015. So we'll be back soon and we'll see you for the next module. Thanks for joining and see you soon.